All right. Today is the last message in the mixtape series Side B. Next week, we are going to be starting a new series called Unsettling Questions. Unsettling questions are where we look at what are obstacles or potential barriers for people to exploring the Christian faith. It could also be questions where people who are in the church right now, it's actually prohibiting them from being able to grow. And so we want to talk about these questions. And so we want to make sure and invite you back next week. But today we are going to look at our final psalm. And as many venues and at all sites, we have elementary students and college students in the room today. And we're so glad that you're here. For me and my family, we are going to have our first elementary student. My son, my oldest son, Caleb, is going to be going to kindergarten for the first time. A bit of a tearjerker for my wife and I. And my youngest will be going to preschool. Now, they're a little nervous about school. But one of the things that they really love is their backpack, all right? Their backpack. This is a picture of their backpack, all right? They are Paw Patrol fans, and they love being able to pick out this backpack and to wear it around. Now, they may be a little bit nervous about school, but they don't seem too camera shy. Look at these other modeling pictures that we have here. So we got this one, and then this next one. There's a little sassiness to it that I didn't know was quite there, but they are ready for the camera. They love their backpack. In fact, my youngest, he wanted to wear it all day the other day, and of course, we just let him. Why not? And so it's good. We're excited for them in this next transition, and they love that. But you as students, especially the students in the room, you know how important a good backpack is. I mean, you have to take your stuff from home to class and then back home again, and it's important to make sure that you have something you really like to carry around. For us as adults, it's really not that different. We need things to carry all the stuff from life in, right? We need those packs to take those with us. Today, I have my backpack on stage. I wanted to show you, this is really my office, all right? This is my office because as the Fitchburg pastor, since we don't have a building, I tend to meet people all over the place and I need to take everything with me. And I absolutely love this backpack. I mean, I'm able to take my computer, books, and notes, and some other things. I want to show you a couple key, a little behind the curtain, some things that you need to see that pastors need. One of the key things that we always need is some deodorant, all right? Because, let me tell you, because when you're on the move, you never know. A pickup game of basketball could happen, and you just got to be ready for that. The other thing I always have is gum, because who wants to talk to a pastor with bad breath? That is just not going to work out. So, I always have these in my pack, and I love my pack because it carries everything I really need. It goes with me everywhere. I take it from home to work to meetings, and then I bring it back home again. But one of the places that I never, ever would consider taking my pack with me, even though I really like it and it does everything I need, I would never, ever consider taking it to sleep or taking it with me to bed. I mean, I think we can all imagine how uncomfortable that would be and the fact that it would weigh us down, it would not really work out, and then we would really not get any sleep if we tried taking that with us there. But there are things that we carry with us when we go to bed at night, aren't there? It's like we have this spiritual, emotional backpack. I know that I do. And then it seems to pick up things all through the day. I mean, if I'm having a tough day at work, I have those things, those conversations or the disappointments. Those things not only stay at work, but they seem to come home with me. Or maybe there have been times when I've been in a season of life where there has just been so much going on that I just can't seem to even go to sleep because I'm carrying things throughout the day. We pick up stuff all throughout our days and in seasons of life, and we put them in these spiritual, emotional backpacks. You know, I can remember a season in my life where I was going through just some really challenging things, and at night, I would lay down and try to go to sleep. And when I would lay down, it was as if there was a person or a heavy backpack sitting on my chest. The pressure I was feeling and the heaviness that I was feeling certainly was something that I kept taking to bed night after night, and I couldn't seem to let it go, and I certainly couldn't sleep. Have you ever had that season? Have you ever had those kind of nights before? where you're just laying there wanting to go to sleep, but you just can't because of all the stuff going on inside. You know, apparently, we're not alone. Apparently, I'm not alone. And the fact that 80 million Americans, the National Geographic magazine just had an article out last month about sleep, and it said 80 million Americans are sleep deprived. 80 million Americans do not get enough sleep. And one of the reasons for this in the article was that the anxiousness and the stress of our modern culture. The exams and all the pressure of school and sports and those things for younger students, but also the fact that even when you get in careers, right, work doesn't just stay at work anymore. Work always comes home. It's on our phones, it's on our laptops, it's always with us. And then you have stress about finances, stress about relationships. The truth is, we are getting less sleep than we ever have before. And it's because these things are weighing on us. Well, the psalm that I picked today to finish out the psalm series is a small and unique psalm, and it's tucked away at the beginning of the book of Psalms, and what makes it so unique is that it's an evening prayer. David prayed this prayer, and others would pray this prayer before going to bed at night, because it moved David. As you will see, it moved David from a restless place, a troubled place, to a place of peace and sleep. Once you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 4, to Psalm chapter 4. If you're like me and you use your iPad or your phone, feel free to do that as well. I'm going to be reading from this, and we'll also have it on the screens if you don't have it. But we're going to read the whole psalm, and then we'll look at it a bit closer as we go through it. It says, from the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek lies? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. Verse 8, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Now there's a lot that's going on here, but I want to start right at the beginning in verse 1. David is clearly going through something, and he cries out to God in prayer, saying, answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Now, we can learn a lot by how David prayed and the words that David used. Clearly, there's a closeness that he feels with God. Answer me when I call to you. When I first read it, I was like, well, this is a little disrespectful, right? But no, he's actually approaching God in a way that really shows how close he is to God. The other thing is he calls him my righteous God. Now, this title has much more to do than just about the righteous nature of God. It actually is talking about how God relates to his people. You see, God is a righteous father, meaning he will do right by his children. David is in a restless place. He's clearly troubled, but he's going to God in confidence, knowing that God would do right by him and by his people. When things are going on in our lives, do we look to God knowing that he will do right by us? Because that is certainly true of who he is. When you and I, when we are restless about things, do we go to God with confidence like we see from David? Or do we panic? Do we pray or do we panic? You know, I tend to panic, at least a little bit, and especially initially. I tend to panic because I'm a fixer, all right? I'm a person who likes to strategize and think about what I could be doing to make this better. And so I start running and I start racing about how I can fix whatever seems to be happening. And I also start thinking about what the other people should be doing to make this situation better as well. And I start thinking of strategies of how to get the outcome that I think is best for this given situation. You know, as I've gotten older, I've started to learn something about control. I used to, and still do at times, live in this delusionment that I can actually control things, that I actually have control, when really I don't. Because as I've gotten older, I've learned that when I think I have control, what's really happening is whatever that might be is actually controlling me. And I tend to run and race more and more in my mind. You see, when we panic when something is happening in our lives, it may be natural, but it's certainly not helpful, is it? Prayer, on the other hand, is very helpful because prayer is a powerful tool. You know, often I think we go in prayer to God trying to do and get things. We're trying to get God to do what we think would be best, or we're trying to get God to give us what we think we need. But prayer isn't about doing and getting. Prayer is about being and becoming. Prayer is about being and becoming. You know, machines, technology, the age we live in right now, it's really good at doing and getting. I think about Spotify or Apple Music, some of these things that we have. They're great, right? You can pick a song you want, and then it plays it right away. And then if you get tired of that song, you can pick a different song that you want and just go on from there. It's really good at that. But machines and technology and the things we have today, the one thing they can't seem to get to is the heaviness in our souls. There's no machine, there's no technology that could take the weight off what's going on inside of us. There's no technology that can really give us that perspective, but prayer really can. Prayer opens us up to God and allows Him to work on what's going on inside. It allows Him to give us His will into our souls and into our bodies and our mind. You know, when we're stressed about things, if you're anything like me, the last thing that I need in my life is more to do and more to carry. In fact, when I'm really stressed and I need help, I actually need somebody to carry things I can't. You know, earlier I was talking about my backpack. One of the best things about this is that I can easily take it off, or I can unzip it and I can take heavy things out of it and I can put them to the side. But how do we do that for our soul? Prayer is how we do that. Prayer is the tool that allows us to open up. And the things that we've picked up in the day or the things that we're carrying in that season, prayer is the way to invite God to help Him carry the things that we can't. David prayed. He didn't panic. The other thing, real quick, before we move to the rest of the verses that I want to talk about is that I love how David prays. David prays in a way that's raw and in process, right? I mean, it's a little messy about how he starts off, and that's something that I can relate to. You know, long ago, I used to think that when I would go to God, that I needed to say the right thing, I needed to say it in the right way, maybe I need to have like a lower voice or something. But the truth is, what God really wants from us is sincerity. He wants honesty. And that's what we really need to do, is be honest with God. What's the point of trying to make it look better for Him? He really knows what it looks like already. And if we're being honest with God, that means we're probably being honest with ourselves. Prayer is a really powerful tool. And David used this in his life all throughout. That's why we have the book of Psalms. And he used this in this particular situation to open up about what's going on inside. Let's look at what's happening inside of David and why he's upset and going through troubles. Verse 2, we're going to start reading verse 2 through 5. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek lies? Know that the Lord has set apart His faithful servant for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him. Be angry and do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. You know, David is clearly frustrated because there are people who are shaming and criticizing him. I can relate to that. That makes sense. When I hear critical thoughts, that is really hard for me. You know, what makes this text a little difficult for us as the reader is that we don't know specifically why they're upset with him. That's never really stated in the psalm at all. And even scholars and commentaries, they all disagree about what it could be. The other thing that's a little challenging about this text is that is the fact that David is praying in the first verse, and then now he seems to be talking to people. And then in verse 6 through 8, he actually goes back and he's talking to God. So what is really going on here? You know, I think that David is really navigating his spiritual emotional backpack. I have this kind of image of David laying down at night, praying, but also running through these conversations in his mind. Have you ever done that? I have certainly done that. I have laid down at night, I'm looking at the ceiling, and I'm having conversations, and I'm working things out because I'm trying to figure out what is the right next step for me. I think he's contemplating what he should say and how he should go about it. And I think that's why this psalm is so helpful for us, because it's really real. We have experienced this ourselves. This psalm is all about us inviting God into those conversations so he can help us to see clearly, so he can give us the perspective that we don't have. What's remarkable about David is the way that he answers their criticism. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. He says, "How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek lies? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." You know what I find really interesting about David's response is that at no point do we see in the text that David's circumstances have changed. Clearly in verse 1, he's in distress and he's praying and he's asking God to give him relief. But we don't know that he's actually had that relief come. But what we do see is that David is awfully confident in God. David is confident in God regardless of his circumstances. He says, "Know that the Lord has set me apart. Know that the Lord hears when I call." In fact, he actually counsels the people to turn back to God. We see that in verse 4. "Be angry and do not sin. And when you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent." These are actually commands. These are imperatives. And then he says, "Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord." In the midst of his pain, David was confident in God. In the midst of his circumstances, David was confident in God. You know, as Christ followers, there is nothing easier about your life just because you follow Christ. I mean, our lives go up and our lives go down just like anyone else. There's no fast pass through suffering and pain. But what's really different about being a Christ follower is the fact that you're not alone and that you do have a God who hears your prayers. There's a number of verses that talk about this. I want to share just a few with you. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer." 1 Peter 5:7, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." The last one is one that I think about a lot. And it's one I reference a lot because it means not only that God cares about me and that he hears my prayers, but God can actually hold things that I can't really hold anymore. I can trust him to hold things. You know, not too long ago in my life, I had to have a difficult conversation with someone that I really cared about. Have you ever had one of those? They're not very fun. And I was really stressed about it because I really cared about this person and I wanted, at the end of it, I wanted our relationship to be okay and if not be better. But I was doing a lot of praying, my prayers were a lot more about doing and getting, I think. Because one of my friends who I meet with, and he and I were meeting, we share each other's lives and we pray for each other. He said something to me that really changed the way I was approaching this conversation. He said to me, after hearing me talk about how stressed I was on this, he said to me, "Are you trusting God with that?" I said, "What?" He said, "Are you trusting God with that conversation?" And you know what? I thought I was trusting God with it because I'd been praying about it. But as I said before, I think my prayers were a little more like, "God, I want to do the right thing. This is what I think I need to do. And then, God, I think this is what the outcome should be. Can you please bless this? God, I really want this to happen." instead of being prayers about, God, I want to be the right person in this relationship. God, I want to be the right person through that conversation. And no matter what the outcome is, I want to be confident in you, that you will work it out. My prayers were a lot more about doing and getting than they were about being and becoming. And I really wasn't trusting God with that. And so over the next few days, I remember after a conversation, I remember praying and asking God, Lord, would you help carry this? Would you help carry this? I want to trust you with this. And I don't know how he does it because I don't know how to exactly give it over. And I would just say, Lord, I don't know how to give this to you, but I know I need to. And I gave it to him. I gave him the fear. I gave him the worries. I gave him the scenarios. And I also, most importantly, gave him the control. The control of the conversation and the control of the outcome. And when I let him have those things, you know what I received in return? I received relief and I received peace. I was still nervous about the conversation and didn't make that just go away. But I knew even in it and through it that God was going to be God and that I could be confident in him. And that he wanted the right things for me and the right things for us when we're having that conversation. I could trust him with it. And I was able to trust him with it. And in doing so, I was able to experience peace because I had confidence in God. David was confident in God regardless of his circumstances, and we can be as well. Let's look at how David goes back and prays to God in verse 6 through 7, he says this, many are asking who can show us any good. Now remember, these are David's followers and they're saying who can show us any good. We don't specifically know the circumstances, but what we do know is they want those circumstances to change. They want what seems to be hard to be good. They want that to be different. David's response, listen to this, David's response. He says, let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. You know what? As king, I would have been really tempted to shoulder their appeal. When they would have said, hey, when are we going to be shown any good? When will this change? As king, I would have wanted to say, you know what? That's my job. I got to make this happen. I would have wanted to put that in my backpack as something I need to carry. But David didn't do that. David didn't point to himself. David pointed to God, saying, let the light of your face shine upon us. David knew that he couldn't change it, but God could. And so he turned to the one who could. And in doing so, as it said, he experienced a greater joy. Now, joy, there's a topic, right? We could spend a whole lot on that topic. But one thing I do want to say just quickly, because we can't spend all the time on that, is that joy is something very different than happiness. You know, I think a lot of us, we get those confused. We think they're the same, but happiness is really fleeting. If you have really young kids, you know what I'm talking about. They're happy one moment, and then, no, they're not the next. But joy is something that endures, and it endures because it's very deep and because it's very rich. We can have joy in any circumstance and in the midst of pain, because it really is centered around being confident in God. And when we're confident in God, we experience joy, but we also experience peace. Look at verse 8. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. David says this, in peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. You know, the Lord alone is what really can give us peace in our life. I think a lot of us, and I'm talking about myself right here, I feel like, no, you know what? I can carry that. I can do that. The truth is I can't. And I really shouldn't. I think we make God really complex sometimes when it's really simple. He alone can give us peace. He alone can give us rest. We just need to trust him with it. So what's our next step? With what we've learned today, what do we do with this? May I make just a few suggestions? First off, it's an evening prayer. So what about tonight, or maybe sometime this week, you take this prayer and you read it before you go to bed. Just like David, just like these people would do. They would read this before going to bed and let these words be the last things you think about before you go to sleep. Now, as a pastor, I also know that every week and every Sunday, we all come to church carrying a whole lot of things. Some of you are carrying past hurts. Some of you are carrying past guilts, and you're still carrying these things along. And yet all of you would love to just simply take them off and let them go. The best part about knowing who God is and being a Christ follower is that he can carry the things that we can't and that we shouldn't carry. And so I want to encourage you, maybe take 10 minutes this week, write down the things that you are carrying that you just don't want to carry anymore. Maybe it's anxiety about starting school or going to a new class. Maybe it's something happening at work. Or as I said before, maybe it's something in the past you just haven't let go. We are not supposed to carry all of this. God is the one who carries it with us. He can really do things. He can really do something about what's going on inside. That emotional backpack that we carry, we don't have to carry anymore. This psalm tells us that. This psalm calls us to be confident in God, irregardless of our circumstances, and that he alone can give us the peace we really need. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for the truth and the wealth of knowledge in your word and in your scriptures, and in particular in the psalm that we have today. That God, you are a righteous God who will do right by your children. That we can come to you in confidence in our prayers, knowing that you care for us and that you hear us. And that God, you alone can give us rest. So God, I pray that we would take these words and that we would actually do something with them. That we wouldn't just leave here and forget about this, but that tonight when we go to bed or some point this week, that God, we would really turn to you and allow you to do a work on the things going on inside of our hearts, the inside of our souls. For Lord, you alone can give us peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.